We are delighted that this week's episode is sponsored by The Animal Guys, who tour the UK and Europe educating audiences about all creatures, great and small.
Having just completed a sellout theatre tour, what makes The Animal Guys different is they've developed an entire show that involves no live animals.
They truly believe in learning through laughter and educating families today so that we can save the animals of tomorrow.
To find out more and for tickets to their tour, just Google The Animal Guys.
I was totally overwhelmed. I couldn't eat, sleep. I was irritable, irrational, anxious. I couldn't even concentrate. I think when you're in that state of overwhelm, it can be so overpowering and you can feel so powerless to break through it. And I'm just so grateful that when I was in that situation, I had mum to turn to, really.
Ah, thank you. Yeah, but I see I've got a very good system for overwhelm. And I think from having experienced years and many occasions of overwhelm, I think I found a brilliant way to address overwhelm, which I've obviously used with Liv and Hunter throughout their childhood, through exams, through those moments where I could see that you were both at breaking point. And that system is just the simplest thing. So, you know, if you feel in a state of overwhelm, it's because you've got all these tasks inside your head and literally it just feels like your head's going to explode. And so my very simple system is to write one problem, one task, one demand, one thing that you need to do on one post-it note. And you put one problem or one issue on a post-it note and put all the post-it notes out in front of you. So first of all, you're getting it out of your head and onto paper. But then the next thing to do is to look at each thing systematically and go, okay, can I diary that forward? Can I delegate that? Is that really important right now? And I think that what that does is it just helps to give you a sense of feeling organized, because ultimately I think overwhelm comes from feeling disorganized.
And like I said, out of control. It's when you feel that there's so much on your plate and you can't control it. If you felt in control of it, you wouldn't feel the problem.
Exactly.
But it is that feeling of being powerless to everything that needs doing, needs ticking off, the people that are reliant on you, whatever it might be, and not having the ability to deal with it all, or the time or resources to deal with it all.
One of the first things that you realize when you do that exercise, you start putting things on post-it notes, is number one, a lot of those things that you thought were a task are irrelevant. And the second thing is the tasks that you had, you made them a lot bigger than they were. So ultimately the state of overwhelm really is caused by looking at things in the incorrect perspective and making them a lot bigger and a lot more frightening than what they actually are.
Interestingly, I searched the definition of overwhelm, and I think we can all really relate to this, in that the definition was bury or drown beneath a huge mass of something. And that's literally what it feels like.
Where did you get that definition from?
I actually used the Google, and it was from Oxford. That's what it said.
Are you sure?
There was other words. There was other things.
And that's from the Oxford English Dictionary.
Yes. That's what my mate.
But interestingly,
the
key words there are a huge mass. Right? Because if we look at our lives, we don't we don't really have.
So like you were saying, that, Eugene.
Yeah, Eugene.
Do you say Eugene any differently to the word huge?
Look, it's what is it? What?
No, say the word, right? Just say like Eugene is huge.
Eugene is huge.
It's the same
thing. Right, well, what can I say? All right. Anyway, but the fact of the matter is, well, you're making it into something that it's not. And I think that's a key thing of this, because look at it. If you look at the simplicity of it, how can you just taking stuff out of your mind and put it down on post-it notes, how can it make you feel so much better? And it does. And for anyone that's not tried that, you've got to try it. You know, it really, really works. But when you look at those things in front of you, you realize a lot of that stuff just isn't important.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, I think I've done post-it notes with both of you over the years. I remember doing it with you as well, Hunter. And you found it helpful also, didn't you? Felt it was.
Yeah, it's just getting it down, really. You realize that a lot of the times there isn't as much as you think there is once you get down. It just really helps seeing it all. It makes it easier to tackle. You feel like it's more approachable and easier to deal with.
Yeah, and I think, totally. And I think it also, by putting it down on paper, what you're actually then doing is addressing each point so that you can actually go, right, okay, I'll deal with that one today, I'll deal with that one tomorrow, but slowly and systematically, even if you're deferring when to address it, once you've deferred it, you know you don't have to think about it.
Because you're still dealing with it.
Until that point.
Yeah. I was just going to say, so I couldn't find the Oxford English Dictionary, but I found Cambridge Dictionary on her. And it says overwhelm is when you have too much to deal with. Which I think is really interesting, because that is basically what you're saying there, that even if you diary it from a future point, it's not something that you've got to deal with right now. So it takes that away.
Yeah.
It takes, and it's really interesting how, you know, we think about computers, and if you open too many tabs on your computer,
slows it down.
It doesn't work. Yeah. It can't work because it's going to freeze up with all those tabs being open. And, you know, the brain is exactly the same. If you've got so many tabs that are open, you're going to feel out of control because nothing functions as well, because we're trying to run too many programs and we're actually really bad at multitasking. So it makes it near impossible.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think what's also interesting is that overwhelm is very much individual as well, because, you know, we've worked with people over the years, and literally when they've taken everything out and on the post-it notes, they'll be like, maybe 30 post-it notes. And yet some other people, there's been 7.
Yeah.
And, you know, so again, it depends on when we start to use that word, where are we in the scheme of things? And some people feel overwhelmed when in theory, they're not that overwhelmed, but it's just that they've made a bigger story out of it.
But sometimes I think, and I think I was saying this to Liv, that in some regards, feeling overwhelmed almost makes you feel validated that you've got lots going on in your life, and that there's a positive side to it, that you know, you sort of think, oh, I've got this to do, I've got that to do. And as somebody who likes to be very active, I do enjoy having loads of tasks. So for me, it's like, it's a good thing from that perspective, but also it also makes me a doer. I think that when I am taskless, I feel empty. I feel like my energy levels suddenly drop because I've got nothing to do. I like to have a focus. I like to have things to do.
That's very interesting about you, Eva, because one thing that, you know, in our day, when we get up in the morning and we're talking about our day, I just get on with it. But you've got to relate to me all the things that you've got to do in the day. It's like you're reading down a list, and I'm like, right. And even now, but we can talk about this now, I still wonder why you do that.
Okay, I can tell exactly why.
Yeah.
And I know Liv does it too, because she's learned it from me, I guess, potentially. But the reason I like to vocalise my to-dos is because as I'm vocalising it, in my head, I am giving myself a priority list, and I'm also almost working out how I'm going to go about that, because it's almost like I map out my days. Even if I'm going to go shopping, I map out where I need to go so that I can make my time as streamlined, and I can maximize on it and be as efficient on it as possible. One thing that I'm not very tolerant of is wasting time or not looking at, well, whilst I was there, I could actually multitask and get that second thing done. You know, because I'm very big into time management. Yeah.
I think it's interesting though, you talk about to-do lists there, and I think that to-do lists can be either your best friend or your worst enemy at the same time. And I think that's something we should really touch on, because I think that when people feel overwhelmed, it can either really help and they can feel, right, I've got my list here, or in some ways it can make them feel like, oh my God, it's just never ending, right? So for every task I tick off, another 2 get added to the list.
Yeah.
And that can actually make you feel even more like you're drowning. That definition you used before, sort of that drowning feeling, that can feel even more. And something I was sort of a science corner, I was reading into, which I think is absolutely fascinating, is this idea called the Zeigarnik effect, which is basically Zeigarnik being the researcher. And she acknowledged the fact that, you know, when people have memories for things, their prominent memories are the things that are unfinished. So she would find that in restaurants, waitresses would remember the sort of people they hadn't yet collected money from. They knew all their orders, but the people that had been and gone, you know, once they walked out the door, they collected their money, that was it. They closed it off in their mind. And I think this is a really interesting idea, which is the fact that, so this is why, you know, you watch a movie or you watch Netflix now, really is the biggest one, they leave it on a cliffhanger, right? Why do they leave us on a cliffhanger? Because our brains can't cope with not having a resolution. So it's like, it's that open program there, like I've got to find the answer. And then once I've watched the second part or the sequel or whatever it is, I can close it off and go, right, I've dealt with that, if that makes sense.
So what you're saying is that it's because a task is not yet complete, that we can't let go of it, and hence the feeling of overwhelm.
Exactly. So makes sense. This is massively. So this is why, if you've got loads of things that you haven't yet completed, and I think as well, as humans generally, we're quite bad at finishing tasks, aren't we? We're quite bad at starting something. Like, how often do you start a task and go, right, I'm not going to do anything else, I'll finish this? Like, we just don't do it, do we? And I think more and more with like social media and sort of all the other things that we're sort of juggling now, we try and multitask so much more, which means we often start so many tasks before we complete them. But that is making us feel worse because we're feeling this overwhelm, which brings me back to the to-do list. Because if you've got so many things on your to-do list, you're just going to feel like there's just so much still open, so much needed sorting. That can actually make you feel worse.
But
there's a way around it.
There is.
Something that you've always taught me.
And that can make you feel worse, because it brings in self-doubt and negative thoughts, because, you know, you can always say, I just never get straight.
Yes.
I'm always, and when you start saying things like that, I can just never get straight, I can never get ahead of things, then you never will, because actually you give yourself a command.
And also, however, you're making that label about you, because you're saying like, I never finish things. So then you're taking that on as sort of feeling bad about yourself. Like, oh, I feel so overwhelmed, I wish I could just deal with these things, but it's a me problem now. It's like, I'm not
good
enough.
As opposed to a life problem.
Exactly.
And ultimately, we've all got things to do.
Exactly.
And we can always find, and even when we get to that point where we've done everything that we need to do, we can always find new stuff.
Yeah. Yes. And constantly. So to negate that, that never-ending list of to-dos, quite some years ago, we came up with this system that's called the Speakman Success 7.
How do we come up with the name?
I don't know. And the Speakman Success 7 actually really kind of feeds into what you were saying, Liv, about if we have a to-do list, that can be overwhelming, because we can cross something off and then add three or four or five things on. Whereas the Speakman Success 7 really helps to manage that. And our Speakman Success 7, which we really recommend for everybody to consider doing, is that at the end of the day, you get a list, you write numbers 1 through 7. 1, 2, and 3 are the things that you want to complete the next day. Number 4 and 5 are things that you'd like to, but it wouldn't be the end of the world if you didn't. And 6 and 7 can wait till the following day. And by doing that, what you're actually saying to yourself is that I only actually have 3 tasks. And for some people, it might be that you just want to do Speakman Success 7. 1 and 2 are the definite things that you're going to do. 3, 4, and 5 are things you'd like to do. And 6 and 7 are things that can wait till the following day. And what's lovely about that is that literally you're really condensing it, bringing it down. It's not too overwhelming. It's very achievable. And therefore, you actually feel like the things that matter, I've completed.
But you're also giving yourself permission that if I don't do this today, it's okay to do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right, but it's not going to leave that. It's not like you're going to just forget it and never do it. You're saying, okay, I can do
it. And I think that's tomorrow. a really interesting point, is that permission, because giving yourself that permission allows you to shut that program down, right? It allows you to close that window. I said about a computer before.
Yeah.
It allows you to go, right, that's fine. And that can be, allowing yourself to do that can be writing it in your diary and going, I'll deal with that next week. It can be, you know, for example, we always say to people, if they feel like they're in bed and their thoughts are sort of swimming around of things they need to do the next day, write it on a piece of paper and go, right, I'm giving myself permission now to deal with that tomorrow, because there's no point me sitting thinking about it now. Mm. And I think actually I've done that to myself, giving yourself that permission. You know, I remember when I was at Oxford and feeling so overwhelmed. And this was, you know, at the start of this episode, I spoke about when I was in the worst sort of place, when I was totally, totally overwhelmed. And I kind of surrendered to that feeling of overwhelm and just was like, I don't know what to do, which was when you came in and sort of helped me with prioritizing everything, like, putting it all out.
Supermom.
Yes, absolutely. But like in that moment, I think that, you know, having that permission and me going, right, I've done everything I can do today. I've done all the revision I can do. I've done everything that I'm able. And now I've got to give myself permission to go, I can't deal with it right now. I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to sleep on it. And tomorrow I'll look at this list and I'll start again. Mm. And I think that permission is so important to give yourself to switch off.
I think writing it down is important as well, because when you write it down, especially before you go to sleep, you know that you don't need to keep thinking about it, because you're not going to forget about it, because it's there.
Mm. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to keep it in your head, because you don't have to keep going over
really,
it.
That's a really good thing to say there, Hunter, because a lot of our overwhelm can be, I mustn't forget all this stuff, right? Which adds on top. And actually, when you've written it down and you know it's there, like say you can go, okay, I can now think about that tomorrow. But going back to permission, receiving permission is very important. And again, whereas giving yourself permission is one thing, I think with everyone's list, overwhelm list, there will be needs and demands from other people. within 100%. That list. I must do this for them. Right. So actually being able to pick the phone up to that person and say, look, I know you wanted this done by tomorrow, but I'm just really overwhelmed at the moment. Can I do it by next week? And getting permission to do those things and move them on. Again, it lifts such a weight.
And I feel that one of the biggest contributors to feeling overwhelmed is the inability to simply just say no to people. You know, how many times we feel like we've got a billion things that we need to do, and then somebody says, oh, can you do this? Or can you pick this up for me? Or can you help me with this? And you go, all right then. And inside you're thinking, no, I really am struggling. I'm at breaking point. And why is it that we struggle to say no? And that's usually because, you know, we don't want to feel that we're letting people down. It's because it might be because we want to appear like we're super capable. It might be because we have low self-esteem and don't feel great about ourselves. So the thought that somebody might think badly of us is just too horrendous to actually say, I'm really sorry, but I can't do this right now.
Well, but we just have an inherent problem saying no, you know, because ultimately we are all people pleasers. So the answer to that is, do you know what? Yes, I would love to do that, but I just can't do it right now because I've got so much stuff on. I could do it, but it might be a couple of weeks. I don't know if that's okay. And then, you know, most probably they'll find someone else.
So you're not actually saying no. You're saying actually, yes, I'd love to and I will, but I can't just do it right now. And that's the way to, if you are somebody that struggles to say no, that is just a way that you can actually deal with that situation. So
you can add on that, because I don't want to let you down. I just don't like letting people down, but I've got a lot of stuff on right now that I'm doing for other people that I don't want to let down. So I can do that for you, but it's probably going to be 2 or 3 weeks in the future. So I hope that's all right. And, you know, and most people will go, actually, I could do it done before then, so I'll find someone else. Great. Yeah. You've not said no.
No. But I think if you sort of look at why do we feel overwhelmed? Who contributes? What contributes to that overwhelm? I think, you know, that we can all say that, you know, the demands of others is everybody throwing
always
some
on
your
top
ideas.
Of the list. Yeah.
And even it can even be not them demanding it, but our perception of that. So what I mean by that is not wanting to let people down. Mm. So, you know, I mean, a big one for me is I mentioned it before actually on this podcast, is I'm really bad at getting back to people's messages. And so I can feel really overwhelmed, like, oh my God, I really need to reply to so-and-so. And I know I've said that I'll get back to her and da-da-da. And it's not, those people are not sat there going, why aren't you replying to me? But I'm feeling this pressure that I should be doing that. So I think as well, it doesn't even have to be demands of others as in actual audible demands. Yeah. It can be the demands in our head from others, if that makes sense. Yes. Our self-demands.
Interestingly, there's somebody sat around this table that doesn't always go back to like texts and messages. And I wonder if they feel any demands or overwhelm from that.
Yeah, I do. I feel bad. I feel like sometimes people think that I don't care about other stuff because I don't reply very quickly.
Well, not just people, but just maybe person or...
No, people, really. It's people.
Around the table.
Yeah, pretty much everyone around the table. But I'd say I can reply to like 3 or 4 people quickly. Other than that, I'll just sit down and actually...
No, I get it. I do get that too,
find
to be
time
fair.
To respond.
I am kind of teasing, but I do get that.
But do you not think that with that, when it goes responding to people, that we very quickly open a message and read it.
Yeah.
And then we can either go back with a 1 or 2 word answer, or we think, I need to think about that one. I need to do a decent reply to that.
Yeah.
And that's when you get involved with other stuff and you forget it altogether. Yeah, yeah.
But then it goes back to that overwhelm, that open tab, right? It's what I was saying before, that thing of like, it's there in our heads because it's that open tab. And then it's like, oh, I've really got to do that. And you keep knowing you've got to do it, but you're never closing it down.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, I've got a situation now because someone contacted us. It was a WhatsApp message. And I saw the beginning of it, but... and then I was like, oh, I need to think about when I'm going back to that. And then I've looked at it since and thought, I need to think about that. And now I've got to the point where now not only do I need to think about it, but I've got to give an excuse as to why I didn't get back to it straight away. Right? So now...
Create more problems.
It is. And if I'm dead honest here, I'm like 2 weeks on and I'm thinking, oh no, there's the excuse and then the answer. And You know, and to go back to someone and say, look, are we really thinking about this? Doesn't really, I've tried that before and people go, well, what do you have to think about?
Yeah, it's true that you sort of.
But that's a self, that's a complete and utterly self-imposed pressure.
Yeah. I get that, yeah. And I do know what you're saying, because if I get a message through and I see it, because, you know, I'm not great either, but if I see it and it's like one of those where you can do like a thumbs up or a love heart, they always get one dead quick.
Brilliant.
Like, dink, done. But then, and then there's like the yes, no, can I speak later ones? They're okay. But I know what you're saying. It's the ones that require a little bit extra typage. And being somebody that Nick and I, you know, we're both, we're one fingerers, aren't we? Where you type with one finger, dead slow. Whereas Liv and Hunter are like,
Yeah, but even so, I sent Hunter two messages on Saturday and never got a reply. Still haven't got a reply. But anyway, just going back to this particular message, it wasn't just me thinking about it, typing it, it was discussing with you as well.
Oh, and that makes a lot.
And it's like, let's just talk about this. And you said, oh, we'll talk about it tomorrow. And it's just moved on. It's sat there. And at the end of this podcast, I'm going to have to deal with
that.
You are.
And again, this is definitely a future episode that we're doing. But that then leads to kind of what could be classed as procrastination, doesn't it? Because because you've inflated.
It is, but not on purpose.
No, of course it's not. But that is one of the causes. But again, we know it's something.
But I was just going to say, Nikki sent us a message because we asked about overwhelm and what causes overwhelm. And Nikki actually said, my phone, all the life admin apps, social media, messages, everything to keep track of. And that's the thing, isn't it? It is really overwhelming to feel like you've got, because I suppose before social media, you wouldn't have all those things to get back to. You wouldn't have, you know, you just get on with the things that you've got to do and then deal with people as and when you see them. You wouldn't be having people messaging here and there and everywhere. And because there is so many apps, that makes it harder, right? It's not like you've just got text. You've got Facebook messages. You've got Instagram messages. You've got, you know, whatever other platforms you use, WhatsApp. It's like there's so many messages coming in and it's like you're trying to keep track of all. I mean, sometimes I sit down and I feel like I've got to go through each one. Right, WhatsApp, but let's go back to them. Okay, text. Do you know what I mean?
But how many times have you been in the middle of something where... or even being on the phone, because that's what it's there for, isn't it? It's the phone. Let's be honest, we forget that.
How do you do a phone? Have you heard this? How do you do a phone? Right, so you're all right. So you know, like younger kids now, excuse me, younger kids now, like I'm talking like 8-year-olds and under, you say to them, oh, like send you on the phone and they go like that. Because it's like an iPhone, isn't it?
Oh, the full hand.
Yeah, whereas not we
the
do
finger,
that.
Not the finger and thumb.
I do a finger and thumb.
Yeah, of course you do. We're talking to the little finger and the thumb
we need,
goes in the ear.
We need to have another child so we've got another generation.
We've got another generation. Yeah, but do you not think kids now have an online speaker and they've got it in front of them?
No, it's yeah. There's videos of parents now asking their kids, and if any parents are listening, ask your child, I find this fascinating. Do, you know, pretend you're on the phone and they go like that.
Like that.
Rather than
So how many times though? I was leaning to when
but you're doing it now though.
When you're on the phone, I'm on the phone. George, you same here. Is that always the same here? Think about it.
Also now I'm thinking.
I was the same here until it gets hot. Yeah, I'm going to swap it.
But I'm also now thinking people that are listening to this and not watching are going to have no idea what we're doing. Is it that side? Do you do it like that? Just to explain though, for people that are listening, I feel like I'm doing an audio description here. We're talking about when people pretend to do a phone action, like whether you do it in the old style phone.
Think Peter Kay when he says phone.
Yeah, with your fingers in and your thumb and little finger out. Or do you do it as though you're holding an iPhone next to your ear? That's the description.
So I've been on the phone and I've heard a message come through and I've looked at it whilst I've been talking to someone on the phone and thought, oh, great. All right. And then finished the phone call, can't find the message.
Yeah.
It's like, what's it coming on?
Yeah.
Right, I saw it.
Too many
it's
platforms.
Not there now.
That happens to me a lot. Right,
and then I'm like, I need to get back to that person because I was waiting for the answer. Can't find how they sent it, mate.
What is that,
I can't
kids?
Say
tell
that
us.
We
I don't
have
know.
That problem. Do you have that problem?
Really.
I think that's an old people problem.
Yeah. Oh, must be, because I don't know. Yeah. Well, you know.
I think that's not
like,
old.
No, you agreed with me.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Yeah, right,
I have that happy laugh where I see a message come up when I'm on the phone and then I can't find it. Yeah, I'm like that. I'm like, how can I have seen it and then it's disappeared into the abyss of what is my phone.
I've got to tell you, that has never happened to me in 27 years of life.
Never.
But I've gone back and then found I found the message has been deleted, and that was part of the issue because I couldn't find out where it was. But now, obviously, on WhatsApp, it says it's deleted, doesn't it?
So, I think these are technical people that aren't technical issues.
I would agree.
I can't say that I've ever faced either of those situations.
But going back to overwhelm, and I think that this is something that we use when we speak to, when we're in therapy with people and we're trying to explain about schemas and thoughts, that basically it's believed that we can only deal with somewhere between 5 and 9 things consciously.
Seven plus or minus two.
So between 5 and 9.
So the average is 7.
Exactly. And therefore, if if we're going above and beyond that, then that is when we start going into this feeling of overwhelm. And I think that the metaphor that, we use in clinic, which I think is a brilliant metaphor, is when you first start learning to drive, in that you see people driving and it looks just like dead easy. It looks like they're just getting behind a wheel and then just like moving the hands and steering. You know, like when you're a kid and you're getting your mum and dad's car pretending to drive. That's the concept of driving,
well, the concept is, from a conditioning perspective, I always used to look at my dad driving a car and I thought there were five things that you had to do to drive a car, which was put the ignition in, you had the steering wheel, you had a mirror, and you had a brake and an accelerator. That's all. That was my perception.
I didn't even think that.
No, I didn't.
I just thought you turn the wheel and press the pedals.
I did.
Like a go-kart.
Yeah.
Turn the wheel and press the pedals.
And then what actually happens is you get behind the wheel of that car thinking this is going to be dead easy. And I remember my very first driving lesson and I was absolutely devastated because I thought, well, that's pants. That's not easy like it looked. But that's the reason being, there is the first time, and I'm going to come to you in a second, Hunter, but the first time you get behind the wheel of a car and you've got like clutch and you've got handbrake and you've got indicators and you've got these mirrors and all this. And it is a complete and utter state of overwhelm until you start to do it unconsciously, and then it kind of gets moved into the unconscious and it creating a schema. Having said that, also whilst using this metaphor, must congratulate you, Hunter, just passing your drive test a week ago today.
Yeah.
I think it was, wasn't it? And honestly, I'm dead impressed with you. Very, very well done.
Thank you.
Big shout out to 5 Day UK, by the way, because that condensed, and Alan.
Alan,
your mate, Alan. Because that really, that condensed 5 days, I guess, helped you to move the overwhelm bits into the unconscious so you were able to do it. And obviously the practicing did that as well. But congratulations on passing your driving test, dear.
I'm a bit disappointed. I mean, I did 5 Day as well. They did my driving test, but I didn't have Alan.
I didn't have an Alan.
I mean, the man that did my test, that did my driving was lovely. But yeah.
Alan's
a legend.
He is a you both
still
passed. You still text, even though you passed. That is so lovely. But did you both, you know, sort of from the conversation of overwhelm, were you kind of, because there was like more things to consider that you probably hadn't thought about, and you know, that feeling of overwhelm, did you both feel that?
Yeah, massively. That was the biggest thing, really, because I felt there was so much to focus on, so much to do. It just felt hard to keep track of everything and make sure I was doing it all right and safely. And then as you do it for longer, it kind of becomes habit, and then you don't really think about it as much anymore, and it opens up more headspace.
Totally. And I think, I mean, one thing I will say is that I thought driving would be easy because I'm actually the daughter of an advanced driver. I don't know if you know, because he doesn't mention it often.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't
mention it often.
It's in my mind because he rarely mentions it.
Honestly, I only hear it like once a week.
Yeah, that's
so, you know, I could have forgotten. But I was thinking, oh, because I'm the daughter of an advanced driver, I'm sure it'll be really
And obviously,
easy.
And myself being a wife of an advanced driver.
I know, but you don't have the genetics. Honestly, you know what I mean?
You're so lucky. you totally are. I want to ask Gunther, though, because when your perception... because what I have noticed is that we've driven around our area for such a long time because we lived in a house all your life, and yet you didn't know the area because you sit in the car and you don't take that information in what relates to what and where it is on the map as such. Whereas now, is that information coming in now you're driving?
The weirdest thing was that I didn't realize that road markings were a thing until I started driving. like you know, like it's the arrow saying if it's left, straight on, whatever. Yeah. I didn't know they were a thing.
That's so funny.
Because you're not looking down, are you?
I never looked.
So what else is new for you?
Well, the area, just everything, really. Like, just any kind of road markings, like, give way, anything like that is just totally... No, it wasn't. No, it's just...
But are you creating it like a mental roadmap now of where we live in comparison with places that we go? So let's say the supermarket.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird even now thinking, oh, I want to get there and think about the different routes to get there, when before I never would have thought that was amazing. I never would have done that before.
But anyway, bringing it back to overwhelm as opposed to routes around our house.
I don't know, that applies to a lot of people, to be fair.
I'm sure a lot of us listening.
But it's interesting in a given situation, what we take in and what other people take in.
And it's what we prioritise and what's important to us. So it wouldn't be important to him then.
Yeah, because we could have driven down the same route for the last 20 years and we could have done it pretty much every day. But you would have no recollection of that route whatsoever until you actually drove it yourself.
Mm. Having said that, so coming back though to overwhelm and why a lot of us feel overwhelmed. And I think mental health, when we have issues with our mental health, that really contributes to feeling of overwhelm, because ultimately what we've established in our chat today is that one of the reasons that we feel overwhelmed is because we're looking for a solution. We need a solution.
But we feel powerless. And I think that's the thing. It's that lack of power. And it's interesting because you do so many things at once. And Dad mentioned before about, you know, some people can get overwhelmed with quite minor things and some people can get overwhelmed with loads of things, like you do loads of things. But I think it comes down to what you feel capable of and what you feel is in your control and power. And there's a really interesting thing that I remember learning about at Oxford, which is the difference between, so when we face an obstacle in life, what determines whether that obstacle makes us stronger and we grow from it and we go, actually, I'm an even better person now and I can do so much more, or what determines whether we go, oh my God, that was awful, I feel horrific, it's really messed me up and made me feel worse, that sort of thing. Like, what determines that? And the big answer to that, what we know from research, is that it's how successful we were in dealing with it. So if you deal with something successfully that was like a massive challenge, that makes you feel stronger. You're more resilient. You're like, I know how to do this now. You know, I've done that, so I can take on the world. Whereas if you face something and actually it overpowers you, that makes you feel like you're less capable and you doubt yourself more.
That is so true.
And I think that's you, because you've done so many things and you do so many things that you can cope with so many. I've noticed that I will get overwhelmed a lot more easily than you.
Yeah, I know that it takes a lot for me to get overwhelmed.
Exactly, but that's because you've given yourself so much evidence you can take on all these things and still manage it. You've got that evidence. And I think that what that tells me is that a lot of this comes down to how we see our ability to cope.
And that's where, and I'm sorry to say this, but that's where school teachers can have such a big bearing on whether you can cope with overwhelm or not. Because if the school teacher champions you, and even if you get something wrong, addresses it in the right way, well, you've not quite got that right. I see where you were coming from. I can see why you were thinking that was really smart. But on this occasion, what actually is this. If they did it that way, that child would believe that they had concluded and completed, or at least done something that was positive with that. However, if we are given tasks, A, that are too complicated anyway for our age, for example, or we've got a too high expectation and things maybe that, you know, you're expecting somebody to do that would be hard for anyone to do, but they think this is the norm, then they can go through life feeling that they can't achieve things and thus becoming more overwhelmed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's...
I don't know if you know, I heard a rumour that Father Christmas used to get overwhelmed all the time because he used to try and do everything on his own. And then one day he read an elf help book.
Be the worst
it
one
changed
ever.
His life.
The wind is blowing.
It changed his life. He's got so many elves helping him now that it's like, he's fine.
The only points I'm going to give him is for that it was kind of like podcast relevant. It's a self-help podcast. He made a self-help joke. Yeah. I mean,
I'm glad the Christmas was overwhelmed. We'll give him that as well.
We are in July.
We're in July, exactly. Yeah, Christmas in July. It's not really, you
but,
know.
But for our
winter listeners.
But that is a point though. Self-help books are really crucial to get different strategies because, you know, obviously we talked about our Speakman Success 7, but find the strategy that works for you. And, you know, a lot of people have different ideas on strategies and not every strategy works for everybody. So searching around, reading self-help books, we've got 4 great ones out there, but there's loads of others out there, and find a strategy, because the feeling of overwhelm isn't a great feeling.
No. And that's why I love our masterclasses that we're doing, the new ones.
Yes.
Because we are really targeting specific areas, all that, you know, can contribute to feeling overwhelmed.
Massively,
you know, because we've got one masterclass about sort of anxiety disorders and phobias, and we've got one about emetophobia, and we've got one about confidence, social anxiety and that sort of thing. And then one about weight loss and overeating. And all those are things actually that can contribute to feeling overwhelmed quite simply because you can't find a solution.
Well, it's an open tab. Yeah. If you don't have a solution, it's an open tab. And it's like what I said to you before, that we know our brain commits more resources to the things we haven't completed. Once we've completed them, we're fine. And that's the thing. Those are all things, if we've not yet got a solution, that we feel we can't complete. And that's the difference. If you know that you've got lots on your plate, but you've got answers, you've got solutions, you don't feel that same feeling of overwhelm.
Absolutely.
And I think that's one thing that I really want to just advise, because going back to what we were saying before about how the difference can be whether we personally feel in control or not. I think that working on your view of yourself and reframing how you're dealing with things will also help. Forgetting
Absolutely.
The tasks for a minute.
Totally.
Look at how you perceive yourself. So if someone, I mean, there's someone I spoke to in therapy very recently, and an amazing lady, and she was telling me that, you know, she has to care for children that have got special needs, that she has lots of things going on with her job, with work, with relationships, with pressures from family. And she listed to me all those things that she was dealing with and said, oh, I feel really overwhelmed. And all I was hearing is, what an incredible woman.
Yeah.
The things that she has dealt with and is dealing with far more than most people could, yeah. right? So reframing, instead of looking at what we're not managing and what we're not, you know, boxing off and ticking off, which, you know, understandably, if you've got loads on your plate, it's impossible to tick everything
off. Of course.
But looking at the things that she has done and is doing, because if you can go, oh my God, I'm focusing on all the bits that I haven't done and it's making me feel really bad, try flipping that. Because if you go, actually, do you know what? Today, I've done all these things.
So
how amazing am I?
Right. So
that's now, great.
So bringing everything together.
Bring it to a close. Well, I think the first thing that I would
and
like
our handbook to
say,
happiness, of course.
Yeah.
These are
the first
tips.
Thing that I would like everyone to consider is that everybody gets overwhelmed at some point or at many points in their life. It's just life how it is. And if you're at that point of overwhelm, I think the first thing to do is just make the decision, right, I'm going to get all this information out of my head and I'm going to write it down, be it on a sheet of paper, on post-it notes, whatever, and you make that decision. That's the first thing, making the decision. The second thing is then just to go away and just take some deep breaths and just change your breathing, because changing your breathing changes your physiology and therefore it allows you to look at things better. And also have a drink of water, because sometimes when we're not hydrated, we can't think clearly. So do those things and then come back and do what we said, do the post-it notes or writing it down, and notice that it doesn't feel as bad. And if there's things in there that demands from other people, speak to those people and try and negate those demands and put them back. And, you know, even saying, look, I really wanted to do this when I said I'd do it. I really wanted to do this, but I've just not been able to fit it in. So I'm really sorry.
Yeah. So Hunter, do you want to go next? What do you want to add into the handbook to happiness? Any tips?
Just writing things down, I think, really is the most important thing, because it just makes it so much easier to deal with. It's not on your mind. You're not thinking about it as much, because you don't feel any need to forget it. It's all there. I think when you write it down as well, you start to think about solutions and methods of working on those tips, working on those, whatever's making you feel overwhelmed. So
just one thing really. That I want to add to your bit is, once you've written it down, giving yourself permission to stop thinking about it until you get that, until you deal with it in writing.
I mean, you already started with your client, and that was a great bit of advice that you were saying.
No, I just think realizing what you are doing rather than what you're not, because, you know, we really do focus, and it's a natural thing. As I said, our brains do that. So it's about challenging that, right? Because it's natural for us to go to the things we've not done and the things that we've still got still open and unanswered and unresolved. But just giving yourself credit for what you actually are doing and the things you are managing, because, you know, especially if you do struggle with your mental health, how amazing that despite struggles, despite things you might be going through, you're still doing all the things that you're doing. So not to lose sight of what you are achieving and what you are doing, because if you feel better in yourself, if you are writing things down, if you are putting things to bed, being able to box things off and feeling more content and giving yourself that permission that you're doing a great job, then actually by doing all that, another benefit is that you can sleep better, you can concentrate better, and it all comes around in a full circle, because when we're sleep deprived, we're more anxious, our brains are hypersensitive to feeling overwhelmed. So it's so much better to, you know, write things down, put things to bed, acknowledge what you are doing, and allow yourself to rest in between, because you can only ever do your best.
Yeah. And I think to conclude my additions to tips for our handbook to happiness to help alleviate those feelings of overwhelm, in addition to what Nick, Liv and Hunter have said there, would be, you know, don't be worried to say not right now to people. You know, it's difficult to say no, I accept that, because I'm one of them, but to be able to say I'd love to, but I'm gonna do, can I do that later today, that's a great,
unless it's leaving us a 5-star review.
Oh yes,
that should be done immediately.
Yeah, 5-star reviews are definite and immediate one. It'll make you feel so much better. But yeah, so I think it's very important to appreciate that you are able to say not right now. Also, our Speakman Success 7, numbers 1 to 7, your numbers 1 to 3 are things that you'd like to achieve the next day, and that are your definite ones. Numbers 4 and 5 are things that, you know, hopefully you can. If you can't, it's not a big deal. And 6 and 7 can wait till the day after. So that kind of allows you to sort of feel a little bit better about the things that you have to do in that day. Achievement journal, like Liv said, you know, don't just think about how great you are, document it, write down at the end of every day, this is what I've achieved today. And you've got a document there, you've got it in black and white in writing in a booklet, you've got a sort of something you can go back to appreciate the things that you've been able to achieve and the things that you've been able to do. And also that if you're somebody who feels they're overwhelmed because you've got issues with your mental health, you know, then do, you know, seek self-help, you know, self-help, like Nick mentioned. Take a look around our YouTube channel, our TikTok. We've got lots of little techniques there, our books, our masterclasses, and, you know, take a look at our website, nickandeva.com, for more information about that. And finally, just realize that it's normal to feel overwhelmed on occasion. That's perfectly normal. And what you're dealing with right now can absolutely get better. So I hope that some of the things that we've shared today have helped you. Hope you've had a little bit of a smile and a giggle with us as well. Again, if you enjoyed this podcast, and do please leave us a 5-star review. We'd really, really appreciate it. And thank you for spending time with our family today. Wishing you lots of happiness, lots of love, everyone. Take care. Thanks so much for joining us. Wherever you're listening to this podcast today, do be sure to like, follow, subscribe, and we'd be incredibly grateful of a 5-star review.
Oh, and don't forget to recommend our podcast to your family and friends.
And if you'd like to have a look at some more free resources, take a look at our website, nickandeva.com.
If you want to drop us a question, we'd love to hear from you. Send it to admin@speakman.tv.
And you can follow us. We're at The Speakmans on all social media platforms. On YouTube, we're Handbook to Happiness Pod. If you are struggling, do be sure to speak to your general practitioner. And all that's left to say is that we appreciate you spending time with us today.